Most of the time, Brian Zenger would identify himself as an MD PhD student, but some nights he's simply a volunteer at University of Utah Hospital. On these nights, when he's called, his sole job is to spend 3 hours just being with someone while they're dying.
I usually arrive at the hospital late at night. It's peaceful, it's dark. And I enter the patient's room for the first time, and I notice that the room is very in order. Everything seems to be put in its place. And it's sad, because there's no one who's been there. And then I go around messing up the room so that it looks like someone has been there. So the blankets that are sitting on the bench, moving those around, moving the pillows. And then I sit with the patient and I try to match breathing patterns. I almost always invite them to speak. I ask if they're interested in anything, but these patients usually aren't talking. I just sit with them and be present for 3 hours. And at the end of my shift, I go home.
Zenger is co-director of an organization at the University of Utah dedicated to making sure no one dies alone in the hospital. He says he does this work because of his father, who was diagnosed with cancer when Zenger was 19 years old. He was a pulmonary critical care intensivist, and when he died, Zenger learned what an important role his father played for so many people at the end of their lives.
And at his funeral, I experienced patients and their families and loved ones coming up and telling me and thanking me for what my dad did while their loved one was dying. And that was really special to me. Even if I can gain just a fraction of that ability, is something that I think every healthcare provider should have.
But as important as it is to Zenger, there's nothing in his medical training to prepare him for this.
There's no classical education on this topic. And I think it's really important that we start engaging in truly educating the healthcare professionals that are taking care of these patients, focusing more on goal-centered care rather than strictly trying to fix a problem and then moving on.
The No One Dies Alone program has opened up conversations not just among healthcare providers, but among the community volunteers who have stepped up to participate.
We have a real denial, almost, around death as a culture.
That's volunteer Mindy Relier, a certified end-of-life doula. Relier says most people are so disconnected from death that they don't know how to have the conversations that could help them have a better end-of-life experience. Fear and lack of knowledge prevents them from making conscious choices about what they want. Relier got training online and with the Zen Hospice Project, but she still needed experience. The No One Dies Alone program was her chance.
The first thing I discovered was my huge amount of fear. And that was unexpected because I had already done all this training and, you know, I was supposed to know exactly what I was doing. But when I showed up for people, I had a suffocating amount of fear.
She had to confront her feelings about death. She had to learn about self-care. And in her words, she had to befriend her fear. Once she was able to do that, she discovered the power of what she had to offer.
This is sacred, hallowed ground. And people are so grateful, you know, they are just so incredibly grateful to have the warmth and the compassion of another human being beside them as they are taking their last breaths.
This work got personal when Relier found out last year that her father had stage 4 cancer that had spread to several parts of his body. The medical team at Huntsman Cancer Institute told the family it was time to prepare for death. Relier was ready for this conversation.
My dad's last wishes were, his last three were actually he wanted to be home and he wanted his pain managed and he wanted to be surrounded by his loved ones.
Relier's father was surprised to learn that he could live at home, getting the medical attention he needed from hospice care. He lived for 6 weeks in his home, sharing meals with family, looking out his window, telling stories about his life, and saying his goodbyes.
Because of my experience with end-of-life work, we were able to give my dad the exact end-of-life experience that he wanted. And I got to be there for him, and I got to be present with him, even though there were really, really hard moments. I chose to stay. And because of my training around self-care, I knew when I needed to go so that I could take care of myself so that I could stay with him and be present. And the greatest gift that has come to me through that is that I have no regrets, not one regret. I wouldn't do anything differently.
The sounds you're hearing are the singing bowls that Relier played for her father as he took his last breaths. Relier says embracing death has allowed her to more fully celebrate life. And she's even more committed to bringing this conversation to her community. Relier is planning a symposium at the end of this year that will bring together people from all walks of life to talk about death and dying. For Utah Public Radio, this is Andrea Smartin.
Support for Diagnosed has been provided in part by our members and Intermountain Budge Clinic, a multi-specialty clinic offering care for every member of your family in one location. Details at budgeclinic.org.